Let's pray. Father God, we just ask right now that as we dive into your word, God, we dive into your truth, that you will just speak to us. And God, whatever message that you have for each one of us today, will you just allow us to be open to hearing that this morning? In Christ's name. Well, when you start to hang out with someone and you start to become interested in them and you invest in that person, eventually that person that you're interested in will eventually come to you and say, we need to DTR this thing. We need to define this relationship, right? Because the more that you hang out with someone, the more this person changes you. I mean, this person that you're hanging out with changes the way you think, the way you feel. I mean, the way you view the world. It changes the friends that you hang out with. This person that you're investing in changes everything about you. Whether it's good or bad, this person changes you, and you change this person. So it's only fair that the two of you in the relationship sit down and say, we need to define this thing. I mean, what is this? Because you're changing me, I'm changing you, and forever we're going to be going in a different direction. So we gotta define this thing. And not only do we have to define where we are now, but we have to state where we want to be in the future. And today, each one of us has a relationship that needs to be defined. And it may be a relationship you've never thought of before. And you may be thinking it's a relationship that only applies to the younger generation, but it's not. And that is your relationship with technology. You see, because some of you here may have a passion in cars. Some of you may have a passion for your house and everything in the house. Some of you may love power tools. Some of you may love your laptops, your cell phones, social media sites. Whatever it is, you have a relationship with it, because in the world we live in today, you can't escape it. So you can't come to me and say that you don't have a relationship with any sort of technology. Dave has been speaking the last few weeks on idols. And he's been trying to get us to think about the idols that we have in our lives. And today I'm excited because as we end the series today, we're wrapping this series up on idols. I'm excited that we get to talk about technology, because when you look at your life, technology has crept into every aspect of our life, right? Like, it's in our homes. It's at our workplace. When we hang out with friends, it somehow relates to our friendships and how we socialize with people. It's everywhere. We can't escape it. I mean, when I think of my day, within the first 5 minutes of me being awake, I'm usually on my iPhone. I'm usually checking the sports scores from the night before that I missed. I'm checking the weather for the day. I'm checking news that's happened in the 6 to 8 hours that I've been sleeping that night. I mean, I've checked my phone, and I get in the car, I go to work, and I listen to the radio, and I'm inundated with everything on the radio. And then I get to church, and I sit in my office, and what do? I open my laptop, right? I open my laptop, and for the period of time that I'm here, I'm communicating, I'm researching, I'm working on my laptop for the whole day. And then I go home, I get back in my car, I listen to the radio again, I go home, I use the technology that God has blessed me with to create and to make food and dinner for my wife, and then I sit down after a long, hard day work, and what do? I sit and I watch TV, right? Right? I'll watch a show, or I'll watch the game, or I'll do something like that, right? And all the while, in between there, I have my phone with me, right? So people can connect with me. And when I look at my life, and I look how much technology has to play just in my life, you can start to become overwhelmed. I mean, you can start to think that maybe, just maybe, that technology owns me just as much as I own technology. I mean, my phone, it buzzes, it beeps, it blinks, and it's calling me. It's telling me I need to drop whatever I'm doing and give my attention to my phone. And what happens in our relationship with our technology? When it finally grows old, when it becomes obsolete, we're not feeling the love anymore with our phone or with our TV or with our car, what do? Like, we run to the store and we buy the newest gadget, the newest model, whatever it is, and we bring it back home and the cycle starts all over again, right? So not only are we investing our time in technology, but we're investing all of our resources in technology, and we can become overwhelmed. And that's just my life. I mean, here's a few examples of things I've seen. I mean, I see a woman that sits at home on a Sunday morning and she'd rather come to, rather than come to church, she'd rather sit in the comfort of her living room and watch her favorite speaker on TV. And I wonder, I mean, can a virtual pastor, can a virtual church replace the intimate relationship that you can experience in the physical presence of believers? I mean, I see a person sitting in church on a Sunday morning and they're pulling out their phone and they're texting someone while they're supposed to be worshiping God on a Sunday morning. And I think, do you really own your phone or does your phone own you? And I go out to dinner with my wife and I look across the room and I see a family that's supposed to be spending family time together. And the father's on his phone for 3/4 of the meal and the kids are on their gaming systems playing. And I'm like, is this really what God had in store for family? Right? And I see so many young men and women now today that will spend countless hours of their life in the virtual world playing video games. And I'm like, really? Like, I mean, really? Like, is the virtual world really as good as the natural creation which God has made for us to enjoy? And then there's the best. I mean, the most popular one right now is Facebook. Right? I mean, we will spend, not just young people, adults, will spend countless hours of their life communicating with people in the virtual world. And I have to think, are these virtual friendships as good as the face-to-face intimate relationships you can have with friends? And so I wonder, are we becoming slaves to technology? Are we serving the very thing that is supposed to be serving us? And the question becomes, is technology becoming an idol? Today I want you to think about this. I want you to ask yourself these questions about your own life. I mean, the question becomes, is technology really a bad thing? I mean, as Christians, should we just separate ourselves? Should we just pull ourselves away from technology? I mean, there are some denominations within our Christian belief that think this, and they try to practice these things. Is this something that we should be doing as Christians? Well, I think it's important before we, as we answer these questions, to start on the right foot. And I think today we have to look at what is our purpose and what is our mission as followers of Jesus Christ. You see, our purpose is this. Scripture is very clear. Make no mistake about why you are here and why you exist and why God has knit you in his mother's womb and has a plan for you. Make no mistake about it. You are here to bring glory to God, and that is the only reason that you exist. Don't think it has anything to do with you. It has everything to do with God. Okay, Isaiah 43 verse 7 says this. Everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory. We have been created to bring glory to God. And our mission is this. We are to go into the world, share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to make disciples. We are here to bring glory to God. And our mission is the Great Commission. And I love Jesus. Before he leaves the world, he brings his disciples together. And Matthew and Mark and Luke all have this account. And I love Luke's account. It says, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. To all nations. And you look at Mark's account, it says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation, to the entire world. And this is so important for us to understand this morning. Since the beginning of time, God has used technology to play a vital role in our purpose and our mission. God has gifted us with the ability to dream, to create, to invent technology that will serve us as we then turn around and we serve God. Think about the Old Testament. I mean, think about the technology, and you got to think technology changes, right? It always changes. It's not the same today. I mean, what technology will be in 50 years is different than it is today, and what technology is today is different than it was 4,000 years ago. You think about the Old Testament and the people that created and invented these musical instruments, and they turned around and they gave praise to God with these instruments. You think of the papyrus scrolls and the parchments that they had, and that was the leading technology of their day to record any information. What do they do? What are the people that want to bring glory to God do? They wrote his word down on these scrolls. And they turned around and they fulfilled their mission, which was to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they brought glory to God with this technology. And you think of Christ as a carpenter. He took the technology of his day and he created with the gift of creativity. He created beautiful things with the resources and the tools and the technology he had. And whatever he created out of the wood that he made gave glory to God. And you think of boats and you're like, boats? Yeah, boats. I mean, boats is a technology. They invented, they created boats. And what did the early church do? They said, we're going to put our apostles, we're going to put our missionaries on these boats, and they're going to go all throughout the Mediterranean Sea, and they're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you think of the technology that we have today. It's so much more powerful, so much more effective. It's changed, but it's changed so much for the better. And now we can go and fulfill the Great Commission to the ends of the earth with the technology that we have today. Know this morning, technology is not a bad thing. Technology is a good thing if we use it for the purposes that God has, and that is to bring glory to God and to fulfill our mission. There's an expression that says, you're a chip off the old block. And usually we use that saying to express how the children have exhibited similarities between their parents and themselves. And as kids, I know myself and others, we make a bold prediction when we're kids that we're not going to turn out completely like our parents, right? Like, come on, we're not going to snore like our parents. We're not going to laugh like our parents. We're not going to wake up at 3 in the morning and get up and go to bed at 9 p.m. Sorry. We're not going to do that like our parents, right? But as you grow older, you start to realize that you start to exhibit some similar traits to your parents, right? And then sometimes your wife will be like, aha, see? You're becoming like your parents. And you're like, oh, yeah, I am. That's right. I am, right? Like, we exhibit traits, and of course we do, right? Like, we're their genetic code. Like, they've raised us. Like, we've looked at them, and we've modeled our life after them. And you know what's similar with us and the Father? We have to take that principle, and we have to realize that we have been created in the image of God. And in order to understand technology, why it was created, and how we use it as people, we first need to understand the people that use technology. And that is us. So today we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. If you have that today, I encourage you to open your Bibles or pull out your iPhones or whatever technology you have with you. Genesis chapter 6, chapter 1, verse 26. Says this, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them and blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing. We've heard this passage so many times, haven't we? I mean, if you've grown up in the church, if you've been a Christian for more than a few years, you've heard this passage, and this passage can start to lose its power. But I want to remind each of you this morning that is seated here in the sanctuary that each one of you is created in the image of the Almighty, all-powerful, all-sovereign, all-knowing God of this universe. You have been created in His image. I mean, He holds creation in His hands. This is the awesome God, the one true only God. And He says, I knit you in my womb, in your mother's womb. I know you. I have a plan for you. You're created in my image. If you come to church this morning and you're downhearted and you're depressed and you don't know what should excite you in life, know that you are created in the image of God. I mean, this is the essence of Scripture right here. We're created in the image of God, and then everything else makes sense. In order to know why we use technology and why God's blessed us with it, you need to know first that you are created in the image of God, and then we'll start to figure everything else out first, after that. In this passage, God outlines four characteristics of our humanity. And the four characteristics that we're going to look at today is this. One is creativity. We have been created with the gift of creativity. Two is we have been given the gift of power, relationship, and sexuality. The four key characteristics of our humanity. There are others I know, but these are the four major ones that are mentioned here in this passage. The first characteristic, creativity. We have been created by the Creator. And being in His likeness, we are able to create. You see, we are able to dream, invent, come up with solutions. And when we do this, we walk in His likeness and we bring glory to Him. I mean, that's an awesome thing. And the practical result of our creativity, the practical result of us coming together and coming up with ideas is technology. Right? The practical result of our creativity becomes technology. And right after God creates us, He gives us a job to do. I mean, right away, God gives us a job to do. And He says this in verse 28. He says, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." There's two parts to this. One is be fruitful and multiply. Right? And I know when I grew up, I used to think, well, this means just, you know, have babies and move around the world. Right? That's what God meant, right? Well, yeah, but it was more than that. He meant develop the social world. It's not enough just to say, okay, have babies, but you got to raise these babies up. You got to teach these babies about Christ. You got to educate them. Okay? So yes, you need to build families, but you need to build schools. You need to build churches. You need to build cities. You need to build governments. Develop the social order. Be accountable for the children, the offspring that I bless you with. The second part is this. Subdue the earth. And this is a part that sometimes we skip over. Okay, we're supposed to have babies and spread out. Second part, subdue the earth, which means this, harness the natural resources that God has given you. I'm giving you this earth. Use the resources of it. So you could think of a farmer with his field, and you could harness the resources to feed thousands of people. But it's not just that. He says, go and build bridges. You know, design computers. Invent things. Use the resources I've given you and create. When we use the resources of this world to create beautiful things, we're walking in His likeness. I mean, that's an awesome thing. We are not gods unto ourselves. But when we walk in His likeness, when we walk in His footsteps, we bring glory to Him. I think of a painting. I think of an artist that creates this beautiful image. I mean, with the gift that God has given him to be creative, he takes the beauty of the world, he puts it on paper, and I look at that, and your heart's moved, and you just say, God, you are so awesome that you have gifted us with this ability to create, and I look at this, and I see you, and I see your beauty, and God, I love you. You know, I see a farmer who uses the technology of a plow and he harvests a field. And I say, God, you have blessed us to be creative enough to come up with this technology. And now we will turn around and we will exalt you as the ultimate Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. Thank you, God. You know, I see someone that uses a cell phone and this person is constantly sending texts to build someone up that's having a hard day. They're sharing the love of Christ with this person. And I say, thank you, God, that you've blessed us with the creativity to have this cell phone. And now we turn around and we give you the glory. You know, when I think of websites, I think of websites that we create like Tiny Hands or Hagar International or IGM or A2 Campaign or any of these things. And we have created websites now that go out into the world and we reach the orphans, the poor, those who are in slavery, those who are in the sex trade. And we've created these things and we say, God, we are going to be people that don't just ignore your will. We know you've told us to go out into the world and reach these people, and this is all for your glory. You've blessed us with the ability to create, so let us turn around now and give you the glory. But here's the question. If God has gifted us with the ability to create, and technology is a practical result of our creativity, then why has technology been used for so much evil? Why does it consume us? Why have we become slaves to technology? Shortly after the creation story, in Genesis chapter 3, we know that Adam and Eve consciously decided to sin against God. And when man sinned against God, what they did was they created a separation between the creator and creation. They put a wall between us. We became enemies of God. We became alienated from God. And after we became alienated and enemies of God, and there was a separation between God's original plan and what we now want to do, things changed. And there was two main things that changed for us as humans. One was this: the world was cursed. The world was changed. And now what we would have to do is humans would have to gather all the gifts that God has given us and just survive. We would have to use technology now just to survive. Think about this. We had to create medicine, medical practices, medical techniques, just to sustain our life now, because after the curse, we will now be sick, we will be ill, and we will eventually die. So we would have to create technology now to sustain our life. We would have to create herbicides, right? Because God said, you will have to work the ground now, and there will be weeds that will kill your food. So now we had to create technology to prevent those weeds from growing. And I think of weapons. We had to create weapons. There was never any need for weapons originally, but to protect ourselves from animals, and to protect ourselves from each other now, we had to create weapons. I mean, now the game plan changes for technology, right? So now we have God's original purpose, and now we have to say, well, listen, we need just to survive now. And the second thing that changes is this. When they decided in the garden to experience evil, they now knew the difference between good and evil. They now took their sinful nature and they utilized it. And they now have the ability to follow God, and they know the temptation of sin. And with us today, and when we look at these four characteristics, we look at creativity, we look at power, we look at sex and relationship, you have to look at it all now in light of not what God's original plan was for these things, but you have to look at it in light of our sinful nature now. The second characteristic is power. Genesis verse 26 says this. Genesis 1, 26, sorry, says this. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over everything that creeps along the earth. We have been given power and responsibility. Will we use this power to make much of God or to make much of ourselves? Genesis chapter 11. If you want to turn there today, verses 1 to 9. This is the famous story. It's the Tower of Babel. It says this: Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down in there, confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of the earth. There's two points in this story that I want to raise this morning. One is in verse 3 and 4. It says, Come, let us make bricks and build a city and a tower with its top in the heavens and make a name for ourselves. You see, at the time, bricks was the leading technology of their day. God had given them the gift of bricks, the technology, the wisdom to know how to make bricks for shelters for themselves, right? And what did man do? Man said, I'm going to take this technology and I'm going to make much of myself. I want to be like God. I want to have a tower in the heavens. In fact, we don't even need God. I want to make much of myself. And we read that it says, this is only, God looks down and says, this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing they propose to do will now be impossible for them. You know, when you read this, you could say, well, was God nervous? Like, was God kind of stressing out about these people becoming equal to him? No, I mean, the God of the universe was not nervous about a group of people building a tower out of bricks. But you know what happened was God looked down and said, this is only the beginning of what man will do in their sinful nature with technology. This is only the beginning. And I, as a heavenly, lovingly Father, need to step down and I need to protect them from themselves. I mean, what we are capable of in our sinful nature with technology is astronomical. And God is saying there's no way this is going to start right now. Spread out. Go and do the original plan that I told you to do. Some of you guys may be thinking, what does a story about guys and bricks have to do with us today and the technology that we use? Well, you see, this right here is our bricks. These are our bricks today. Your laptops, your TVs, your cars, your homes, my iPhone. These are our bricks today. And the only thing that separates us from the people of Babel is, what are you going to do with your bricks? Are you going to use your bricks to bring glory to God or to bring glory to yourself and to make a name for yourself? These are our bricks today. You know, I think about the power that we possess in our technology, way more power than what the people of Babel had today. You know, I think about communication and how with the power of the internet now, we can communicate with people all over the world. I mean, we can say what we want, when we want, and how we want to say it. And half the time, we don't have to consider the ramifications because we sense it. It's gone. Right? It's gone. We can say whatever we want to people. We don't have to look at them face to face. We can communicate and say whatever we want to anyone, not just in our house, not just in our city, but anywhere around the world. You know, and the people of Babel, they had to come up with a plan, right? They had to come up with a plan, a strategy. They had to sit together. They had to come up with the drawings for this building. It probably took them months, if not years, to start building this thing. Do you know what we have? We have feelings. All we have to have is a feeling. We just have to have a bad day, and we'll send an email to somebody that we'll regret, we'll totally ruin their reputation, we could totally ruin their lives, and all we have to have is a feeling. I mean, they needed a plan. If you get me upset one day, I could post something on Facebook and totally ruin your reputation. That's the power that I have. You know, when you think of image, I mean, oh my goodness, I mean, we have the ability to create whatever image we want of ourselves online now, right? Facebook profile pages, we can put the perfect picture of ourselves up, you know, just forget all the other ones, put the perfect picture up, maybe Photoshop it, change it up a bit, then post all these amazing things, places we've been, you know, and people we've seen, experiences we've had, and we kind of neglect all the negative things about ourselves, but we post all the good stuff about ourselves, right? And you know what we're doing? I mean, in a nutshell, we're bringing much of ourselves to the forefront. We're making a name for ourselves. And we're saying, everybody, look at me. Look at me. Look how awesome I am. Look at the friends that I have on Facebook. Right? We're making a name for ourselves. Here's the power. Here's just some of the power that we yield with communication today. We have the ability to communicate. We have the ability to build someone's life up or destroy someone's life. And we have the ability to make a name for ourselves using social media sites, using the internet, using email. We can do it all today. I mean, the power that we have is unbelievable. Nicholas Carr wrote this. With the exception of the alphabet and the number systems, the net may well be the single most powerful mind-altering technology that has ever come into general use. At the very least, it's the most powerful thing that has come along since the book. In my opinion, the power that we yield in a fingertip at the click of a button is more power than what all of the men had at the Tower of Babel. And the question for us is, the second characteristic of God is that he's blessed us with power. What will you do with the power that you have? Will you bless God with it? Or will you try to make a name of yourself with it? The third characteristic is sexuality. And although this is not a likeness of God, God is not made with a certain sex. He doesn't physically reproduce. This is a gift that God has given us, and it is part of our human characteristics. And it says this in Genesis 1:27-28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. It's important this morning. I know we get inundated with sex all the time. And sex now has become some sort of objective thing. It's become almost a dirty thing sometimes. But it's important for us to realize that sex is a gift from God. I mean, it is one of the most profound, intimate ways that you can show your partner how much you love them. I mean, come on, people. We're becoming one flesh. This is a gift from God. It's not a dirty thing. This is a blessing from God. It's a gift that He has given us. But this is important this morning. God only ordained this within the borders of marriage. That is His plan for you. If you are having sex this morning outside of the parameters of marriage, you are following your own sinful desires. You are not following the will of God. You could care less about honoring God. This is about making much of yourself and bringing honor to yourself and your desires. God gave us a gift, and we're turning around today in society, and we're totally making it about us. Do you know, the issue is not just sex today and technology. The issue is the unrestrained freedom that we have, the uncontrolled freedom, the unmonitored freedom that we have with technology today. Right? It's not just sex. I mean, pornography is a huge thing today. But so is online shopping. So is gambling. So is our addiction to ego and our addiction to knowledge. And we have no one to monitor us. I mean, we're the kings of our own castle. We can watch whatever we want in the comfort of our own house. And no one can say anything to us. You know, we weren't created to be exposed to all of this disgustingness that we see all around us. You know, and not only are we not supposed to be exposed to it, but our children are being exposed to it now at such young ages. I had a parent come to me in youth group, in one of the youth groups that we had, and the parent came to me and said, "Brock, I need to talk to you about something. My child is addicted to pornography." And he said, "We've taken the computer out of this child's room, but I need you to talk to this person." So I took this person out for dinner, and we talked, and I asked this person how they were doing. And this person said to me, "Well, yeah, my parents have taken the computer out of my room, but I can still see it on my cell phone. I can see it on my friend's cell phone. I can go to school and see it there. I can see it in the media. I can see it in movies. I can see it everywhere I go." He says, "Brock, I've been exposed to it everywhere, and there's just a freedom that I have, and no one can stop me. I mean, it's everywhere. How can I stop this?" And you know, a lot of us here, some of us here, think this won't happen to us, right? "I can handle this. I can handle all the images. I can watch a movie. I won't be affected by it." This child was raised in a Christian home with Christian values and Christian principles. They put up walls. They put up parameters around this child, and it didn't do a thing. Here's some stats that I want you to listen to today. 87% of university students are having sex over webcams, instant messenger, or the telephone. 50% of all Christian men and 20% of all Christian women are addicted to pornography. The U.S. Customs Service estimates that there are more than 100,000 websites offering child pornography worldwide. 42% of songs on 10 top-selling CDs in 2011 contain sexual content. 6% of Canadians have an addiction to online shopping. People using sites like Facebook and Twitter and online dating lie about themselves on average twice per day. 42% of kids have experienced cyberbullying, and 8% of those have tried to commit suicide. I mean, let's just get real for a second. I mean, when you hear this, what does it do to your soul? I mean, it kills me. I mean, when I hear about this stuff, it just kills me. If you are one of those people today, and I mean, statistically speaking, 50% of the men in this room struggle with pornography, and 20% of you women struggle with pornography as well. This is not just happening in the world, it's happening in the church. And if you are doing this today, you need to stop. You see, because when you're doing this, you're not making any honor, you're not paying any honor to God. This is all about you. This is all about what you want and your sinful desire. You're feeding the flesh. And when you feed the flesh, you push God down, you push Him away, and you say, "I want to feed this." If you've come here this morning and you're one of the 50% or the 20%, you've come here today with an idol. You've carried an idol in your heart today. And it's impossible for you to really have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ this morning if you have this idol in your life. I mean, it's impossible. I mean, God hates sin. God despises idols. I mean, the number one command in the New Testament is you should love the Lord your God with all your heart. No one else. God. And if you come here this morning and you're carrying this idol with you, I mean, you gotta get rid of it. And I know it's easy for me to stand here and say today and say, stop. Right? Like, it's easy. I can say it. But the reality is, I know that for a lot of you, it's become an addiction. It's a cycle and you can't get out of it. I want to offer these encouraging words to you today. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says this, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." I want you guys to know something today. You are not alone. You are not a freak. You should not go into a shadow and hide in that shadow and be embarrassed about your sin. God says nothing you are going through is unique. Other people are going through what you are going through. And I often read this, and I've always struggled with this because, you know, God says, "I will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear." And I say, "Really, God? Like, really? Like, I'm struggling with some stuff here. God, really? Like, you said you're not going to give me something more than I can bear? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, we struggle with sin and we can't get out of it. And God is saying, like, ha, 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 God, how do you promise that you are giving us nothing more than we can bear? But it doesn't seem like I can bear it." I love the first part of this passage. He says, "No temptation has seized you what is common, except what is common to man." And when I read that, I get hope. Because you know what? There are other people that are going through what you are going through. You can go and get an accountability partner that has gone through this and can give you advice and counseling. You can go to a professional counselor. You can go to a rehab specialist. And you know what we could really do? We could go to a small group. We can go into our prayer groups. And we can actually practice what we preach. We can become real. We can share our hearts. We can share our struggles. I mean, come on, guys. We go to prayer meetings, and you know what the number one thing that we screw up doing? Is we go and we tell, well, pray for this person, or pray for that person, or pray for this person. And that's great, but what's going on with you? What can we be praying for? Do you genuinely believe that God and His Holy Spirit is powerful? Do you believe that He has the power to change lives and to change hearts and to rescue you from your sin? Do you really believe that? Go to your small groups, open up and become real about what you're struggling with and see what God can do. There's nothing wrong with praying about other people. We need to. We need to petition God as saints and ask that He intervene in other people's lives. But you know what? I bet you, most of us here hardly ever open up about ourselves. And when we do, it's about just something small. What idols do you have in your life? I mean, come on, Dave's been preaching about all these idols. Let's start praying about them. Let's start sharing. Let's start encouraging others. And be encouraged, you guys. Don't be embarrassed because other people in the group probably are sharing the same struggles as you are. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. You are not alone. You are not unique. We are all being inundated with sex and more sex and more sex. 50% of you, 20% of you women are struggling with it right now. Statistically. The last characteristic of our humanity is relationship. God says this in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Make no mistake about the Trinity. The beginning of time. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They have relationship with each other. And being in their likeness, God has created us to have relationship with Him. That's awesome. And you know what's happening now today is this is probably one of the hardest things when I see technology, because technology consumes so much of our time that it takes away from us having a relationship with our Father. And this is one of the four core characteristics of our humanity, and we're ignoring it. I want to offer two suggestions today on how we can improve our relationship with God. The first is this. I think our idea of God needs to change. You see, we become a consumeristic society. We become gods in our own houses, in our own lives. And I think that we are treating God sometimes like we treat technology, right? Communication, we are able to say what we want, when we want, to people all the time. And when we go to God, what do? We talk to God, we talk to God, we talk to God, we talk to God. We tell God, God, you need to help me with this. God, you need to do this in my life. God, you need to resolve this conflict. God, you need to bless me in this area. God, you need to do this. And what we're doing is we're talking instantaneously to God. We're just sending him messages. We're just tweeting him. We're just sending him a post on our wall. We just keep flashing him messages. And instead, what we need to do is we need to stand in complete awe and silence of God and really realize who it is that you're standing in the presence of. He's not someone that you can own. He is not here for your pleasure. You are here for his pleasure. We've got it backwards. And when we talk to God, we're like, okay, God, we take him off the shelf and we say, okay, listen to me, God. These are my issues. These are my concerns. This is what you're here for. You're here to bless me. No. We're here to bless him. Stop treating him like he's some of your technology, that you own him. Francis Chan, his book Crazy Love, said this: we live in a society where written words are cheap, easy to come by, and excessive. We are slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry. You know, I think we've gotten to the point as Christians, some of us, where we don't even know how to stand in silence. I mean, we hate silence. We're scared of silence. What do we do in silence? I mean, when we have a spare moment in our life, what's the first thing we usually do? When we have free time, when we're alone, what's the first thing we usually do? Usually, we pull out our phones, we go on our laptops, we turn on the TV. Right? We're afraid of silence. I mean, we've gotten to the point where technology has just defeated us. Solomon warned us not to rush in to God's presence with words. He says, that's what fools do. He said, the wise man comes to God without saying a word, and he just stands in awe of him. Have you done that this week? This month? Have you ever done that? I mean, just put your needs and requests aside for 1 second and just stand in awe of God and let him reveal himself to you. The second suggestion I have to improve our relationship with God, and this is very important, I need you to listen this morning, is how is your Sabbath? What do you do on the Sabbath? Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 13 says this, part of the Ten Commandments, part of the top 10 laws that God wants us to follow. Number 4 is this: observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord, and on it you shall not do any work. You see, God's always intended for us to be busy. I mean, he created us to work. He did. He created us to work. But you know what? God also wants us to have 1 day of the week to rest. In fact, he went so far as to command us to rest because I think he knew what we would do. So he said, this is a commandment, not an option. And you know, this isn't just a day of physical rest to put your feet up on the couch and to watch the game. This is a day of spiritual rejuvenation where you spend time with your Father. But here's the problem. What do we usually do on Sundays? Football game? Spending time catching up with your messages on Facebook? Emailing? Like every time we have a spare minute, we pull out our idols. And we say, God, we don't want a relationship with you. We want this. And you know what's ironic? You know what's funny? I was thinking about this morning. I'll come to church, right? Well, we'll all come to church and we'll worship God and we'll say, God, we praise you. God, we exalt you. God, we love you. And then we go home after we go to our favorite restaurant and we say, okay, God, that's it. We're done. We don't really want to spend any time with you. We praised you this morning for an hour. We're going to go home and we're just going to turn on our TVs and that's good for me. The day's done. Thanks, God. I appreciate the Sabbath. Listen to this stat. The average Christian in the U.S., sorry, there's no Canadian stats here. The average Christian in the U.S. spends 10 minutes a day with God. Not bad, right? 10 minutes a day? Okay. The same people spend 4 hours a day watching television. Really? I mean, yeah, okay, and it makes sense. And you know what I did after I read that stat? I mean, honestly, when I read that stat, that inspired my entire message. That stat right there. I spent 5 weeks with the senior highs and the junior highs talking about technology because of that stat. 10 minutes a day with God, 4 hours a day with technology. That's just the TV. So many of us here, we come to church or in our lives, we're depressed, we're tired, we're downhearted. Life's gotten us by the throat, and we don't know what to do. And you know what? We're consumed with our tiredness. And you know what? We go to God and we say, God, where are you? God, I don't feel you. God, I see this person over here, and they seem to be so alive in Christ. Why am I so tired? Because you forgot about the spiritual rest. You forgot to go to the well that gives you the water. Jesus said this, our Savior said this in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Imagine today, imagine your Sabbath involved you going home, turning off your cell phones, putting away your laptops, shutting off your TV, fasting for one day from technology, and just standing with God. Go for a walk in His creation. Experience God. Spend time, genuine time, with the people God has given you, and let God speak to you through those people. Be in prayer with God. For one day, He asks us this. Like, just be with God. Let Him speak to you. Put away your technology for one day. Can you do that? Or has it become too much a part of our lives that we can't live without our cell phone for a day? Today I started with the creation story, and we've been working through that, but I intentionally left out the last verse, and it ends like this. Genesis chapter 1 verse 31 says this. And God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. The creator of the universe, I mean the author of perfection, looked at this creation and said, this is very good. And Psalm 8 tells us this, that we are the pinnacle of His creation. We, us, are the pinnacle of His creation. You see, I've made you to be creative. So go into the world and create and enjoy the things you've created, but make sure that you do it for my glory. You see, I've given you power. I've given you responsibility. Don't take that lightly. Use that power to bless me and to bless other people in your life. Don't use it to bless you. I've given you the gift of sex and your sexuality. Don't make it something dirty. This is a gift that I've given you. I mean, oh my goodness, it's such a beautiful gift. And at the end of it, you know what He does? He says, I love you so much, I think you're such an amazing part of my creation, that I want a relationship with you. I want to know you. And you know what? We need Him. You say, no, I don't. You were created to need Him. You have no say in the matter. If you don't go to Him, things don't start to make sense. We were created in the image of God. And you know what? We need to stop settling for less. We need to stop settling for less and realize that we were meant for so much more than the things of this earth can offer us. And you need to believe it enough that you leave here today and it changes how you live. Don't settle for the technology of today. Don't settle for the bricks. We were meant for so much more. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner everything comes together. DTR. Today, don't leave here today without defining your relationship with technology. Are you using the gifts God has blessed us with to honor Him and to make much of Him? Or is this all about you? Let's pray. Father God, this morning, we want to thank you just for how you've created us, Father God. We thank you for these four characteristics that you have blessed us with. We know that in the beginning you had an amazing plan, God, but because of our sin, we have moved away from that plan, God. God, this morning we want to thank you for technology and how you bless us with it so that we can be served and then we can turn around and we can serve you with that technology, Father. God, if there are people here this morning and they realize that they didn't even know it, God, but technology has become an idol in their life, that they can't even live a day without technology, God, I pray this morning that you will speak to them, that you will give them the strength to fight that urge. God, you will give them the strength to go and speak to somebody about the issues that they may have. God, all of this is for your glory, and it's all for your praise, God. Let us understand that and to make much of your name. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.